Christian greetings, everyone, to this week's Truth Provided broadcast. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry. Thank you once again for tuning in for an hour of information that you and your family will need to be better prepared for the time of trouble that is soon to be upon all of us. The website is, of course, www.remnantofgod.org. I pray what I'm about to share with you will become a blessing to both you and your loved ones, and you are able to share it with as many as possible. You know, with all the laws, the new laws that are being lobbied, soon we're going to find ourselves in a dictatorship in this country, United States of America, under the complete control of Roman Catholic prelates. On May 26, 2005, the United States House of Representatives passed a new anti-hate bill by a 223-199 margin. It has been titled the Local Law Enforcement Hate Crimes Prevention Act of 2005. This will allow your local police officers more power to remove your ability to share Jesus with those the Lord leads your way. It has been inserted as H.R. 2662 IH, and you can get in my next newsletter that's coming out. Well, it's already out now. You can get, there's a click, a link on the newsletter that gets you right to the actual text of the bill. Anyway, the four definitions of the term hate crime are as follows. Out of the Hate Crimes Statistics Act of 1990, it states that crimes that manifest evidence of prejudice based on race, religion, sexual orientation, or ethnicity, including, where appropriate, the crimes of murder, non-negligent manslaughter, forcible rape, aggravated assault, simple assault, intimidation, arson and destruction, damage of vandalism of property. That's Public Law 101-275. The Bureau of Justice of Administration, or the BJA, of 1997 stated that the hate crimes or bias-motivated crimes are defined as offenses motivated by hatred against a victim based on his or her race, religion, sexual orientation, ethnicity, or national origin. The Anti-Defamation League states that hate crime is any crime committed because of a victim's actual or perceived race, color, religion, ancestry, national origin, disability, gender, male or female, or sexual orientation. And the National Education Association, or the NEA, states that hate crimes and violent acts are defined as offenses motivated by hatred against a victim based on his or her beliefs or mental or physical characteristics, including race, ethnicity, and sexual orientation. Now, the word perceived is important because many vicious assaults are based in error on the incorrect belief that the victim is Jewish, gay, or a member of some other group that the perpetrator hates. This is their wording, by the way. I prefer not to call the homosexual gay because they're not happy. Their lifestyle does not make them happy. And it is an anagram, I believe, for G-A-Y, which states good as you. And scripturally speaking, it is not good to be in sin. So, anyway, traditional hate crime legislation protects persons because of his race, color, religion, or national origin, as is the case in 1969 Federal Hate Crimes Law, 18 U.S.C. Section 245. Most state laws now include additional protected groups. Some laws are restrictive and only protect a member of a group if he or she is involved in specific activities. For example, the current 1969 federal law only applies if the crime happens when a person is attending a public school or is at work or participating in one of four other federally protected activities. Now, when the definition of hate crimes is declared, we can see that the governing forces identify religion as a source of hatred. Now, this is, of course, true to a certain extent, but when you compare it to that of other reasons of hate, it pales in comparison. However, this is all the rage now in the media. For example, notice the following statistics that I have previously shared with those of you that get my monthly Truth Provided newsletters and those of listeners of the weekly Truth Provided broadcasts. Notice how religious hate crimes pale in comparison to racial hate crimes. For example, in 1995, crimes, this is, by the way, this is out of the FBI.gov under the Uniform Crime Reports, or you can also get it out of the Crime in the United States 2000 FBI press release in 2001. On October 22nd, they put it out. According to them, 61% of the hate crimes were because of hate in 1995. I'm sorry, because of race in 1995. 16% were for religion, 13% for sexual orientation, and 10% for your national origin or ethnicity. Now, in 1996, race was 62, religion was 16 still. In 1997, race was 59, religion went up a little bit to 17. In 1998, race was 58%, religion was back down to 16. And when you get to 1999, 55% of the race was the problem, and 18% was religion. And then in 2000, race was 54% of the problem of hate crimes, and religion was back down to 16%. So the hate crimes levied against religion more or less stayed constant at in or about 16% from 1995 to 2000. Granted, 16% is no small problem, and I am sure some biased calculations may have allowed for a bit of the puffing up, as we see in the totals, as is always the case when public outcry is necessary, you know, when they want to generate a method for their madness, you know, some method to, you know, either cultivate votes or bills, you know, get out there for the new laws. Still, 16% is not a big number in either respect when comparing it with racism. Yet, for the last few years, we have seen an upsurge in the media blaming religion for many more problems than racism has ever generated. So many, in fact, that there is now rock-hard evidence that most, if not all, of those so-called terrorist attacks were fabricated by governments around the world to give the religious problem a boost in generating public outcry. Why, you ask? Well, the mark of the beast must be enforced soon. We see the ball rolling. We know this is inevitable. For those of us that study prophecy, it's a no-brainer. Okay? But before doing so, the beast in Rome needs to do all it can to curb the negative talk all over the world by God's remnant people that graphically and accurately exposes them as the prophesied beast of Revelation. Okay? So, I mean, looking again at those numbers, you can see that racism is persistently the main issue regarding hate crimes across the board. So let me ask you this. If you could somehow identify people that preach against your religion as racists, you would be in an ideal position to gain political preeminence, would you not? If you can get those people that expose your religion as the house of Satan to clam up, you would have a better chance of getting your mark upon the masses. The numbers of hate crimes concerning racism are in the upper 50 and lower 60 percentile as the norm. If you add religion into the mix, you stand to make racism a very powerful and noticeable problem. A problem that is definitely capable of being lobbied and used as a political stronghold for vote gathering. Think of it. Adding 16% to the highest year of racial hate crimes would give you a very lucrative 78% in the racism problem. Now, everyone knows that religious hate crimes are not going to get much worse as time goes by, simply because only the confused fanatic would seek to do harm in the name of their God. The grand majority of people, or most religions on earth, deplore violence. So something is needed to boost the statistics concerning religious hate crimes, as well as the need for religious hate crime laws that purposely target free speech. Because it's always the mouth, they say, and which is also, I mean, you know, you have that pink dragon in your mouth, that little tongue that's, you know, a two-edged sword sometimes. It can really hurt people and it can generate hatred, and we all know this. What happened on 9/11 and in London was nothing more than a booster shot to this agenda. Nothing more, nothing less. Truth is, directly after that first shot in the arm in the United States of America, in September 11th, we saw all sorts of new bills being lobbied and passed that directly affect the preacher and his God-given right to evangelize those he truly loves and has a heartfelt concern for. You know, I mean, we have burdens for those of us that preach. And even just your everyday run-of-the-mill Christian, this is something that burns from within. You have to share your peace with others. You know, I found the reason for life, okay? So many people are out there looking for themselves or a void to fill. You know, we're created as spiritual beings. We long for our Creator. But the devil gets you off track. He puts you in all these different areas looking for ways to fill the void. And when Christians approach and show you the real way, sometimes people get angry. Okay? But that's a whole different topic, in fact, because of the simple fact that what we preach is not hate. Okay? It's love. The devil has flip-flopped it. But anyway, getting back, these new bills that are being generated, these new laws that are being passed, directly affect the preacher. He is being gagged. Everything from making the Bible hate literature in Canada to actual Catholics forcing the government to remove tax-free status from what they consider anti-Catholic churches in Florida, to actual government spies in American churches all over the land reportedly reporting directly back to the Bush administration on what a pastor actually says from his pulpit. This is why the Christian religion has become the prophesied target today. All that Rome has to offer is graphically spoken of in Bible prophecy. So the Vatican needs to get religion to become part of the problem so that all governments will regulate it and prevent speaking out against Rome's version of Christianity. This is how Rome ran things back during the Inquisitions, and this is why the prophecy predicts an image of the beast will be created worldwide so as to allow for a perfect healing of that wound in Revelation 13:14. Without this image of the Roman Catholic form of government, the mark of the beast can never be enforced effectively on a global basis. It just can't be done. Rome needs to have her wound completely healed so as to have the same religious political power it had when it burned Christians alive. Common sense, people. If you have true Christians out there successfully exposing the Roman Church as the prophesied whore of Babylon before the eyes of many, you cannot hope to get all the people in line. There's going to be that small remnant or that faction of problem people, I guess you can call us. That is Satan's desire. He wants global worship so as to defeat Christ. Of course, he can't, but this is what he thinks. That, my friends, is the great controversy we find ourselves in, a part of today. Rome needs to speak and cause laws that will curb this problem, it says in Revelation 13:15. Free speech needs to be stopped at all costs if they hope to gain any ground here. However, before they can get those laws in force, they need to make religious crimes appear to be a major problem to the voting public. This is why the government invented this so-called terrorist war in the United States or France or London or wherever else they're doing it. Think of it. This is a war. I mean, this is kind of comical if you think about it, but this is a war that purports terrorists that live in caves and holes in the ground as having large amounts of cash that grant them the ability to travel freely across the globe, use highly advanced weaponry, pilot aircrafts that take years to master, manufacture weapons of mass destruction, and at the same time either evade capture and or fight hand-to-hand combat with American soldiers in their very own homeland. All this is done and orchestrated in caves without the use of telephones, computers, or even the ability to get a letter out. Amazing, isn't it? These terrorists, they appear to be very talented bunch of men, according to what the government-controlled media claims. Seriously, it seems to me the lying officials are trying to paint a picture of these terrorists that liken them to be superheroes. These guys are able to leap tall buildings, scale mountains, fly unencumbered, look through solid walls, evade highly advanced security devices, as well as the all-seeing satellite cameras or drones we keep flying overhead. And let's not forget, they must be literally bulletproof to boot. Plus, keep in mind, Osama bin Laden does all this and deals with lugging around kidney dialysis machine. if our soldiers had half the abilities these terrorists are reported as having, you would see entire armies surrendering the world over whenever a half dozen American GIs walked into their towns. To believe these men in caves have the ability to generate a global religious problem that warrants such laws is as believable as a Boeing 767 aircraft leaving a 16-foot hole in the Pentagon without leaving a single trace of carnage or wreckage. It's also as believable as a highly advanced structure such as the Twin Towers could have a smoldering fire in one corner of the building that causes it to fall to earth in less than 1 hour, where a totally engulfed in flames skyscraper in a less technologically advanced nation as Venezuela could burn over 17 hours straight and never fall to the earth. The numbers regarding the religious hate crimes are a fabrication, people. This is obvious. This is blunt. I mean, we know the numbers don't lie. I mean, they're all a fabrication, just as much as are the reasons for these so-called terrorists, this war we find ourselves in. Most of the terrorists are up to their armpits in American GIs in Iraq. Pray for those GIs, people. They were lied to about the reasons they need to be there. The Bush family business is oil. Iraq has billions of barrels of it. You do the math. And by the way, I am not a Democrat or a Republican. Both parties are proven liars. I am merely stating the facts here. Yes, I agree Saddam Hussein needed to be removed from power. He was killing his own people. But when you look at the whole picture, so does the American government. Matter of fact, so does all governments. They think it's okay. I mean, need I mention the more recent facts like Ruby Ridge, Waco, Oklahoma, or even the Twin Towers? Getting back. A hate crime category that shows such a high number as 78% would most definitely be considered worthy of governmental control. Would not the media as well as the churches be very active in pushing their ideas on how to stop it? I would think so, wouldn't you? And would not every politician that seeks issues that are important enough to harvest votes play on this obvious cash crop, no matter how much it is puffed up? And again, would not every entity that favors this agenda use this against any politician that would not look to it as an issue worth addressing? In other words, if you're a politician that chooses to ignore this issue, you would eventually find your career in jeopardy. Okay, so with that said, listen to this. Headline, Fundamentalists Wrong About the Bible, the Vatican says. I reported on this article many years ago. It was where the Vatican declared that scriptures are dangerous, but what I'd like to point out is, in this Associated Press article of March 18, 1994, is the fact that the Vatican, this came from the Vatican. It says, a new Vatican document on how to interpret the Bible condemns fundamentalist approach of the word-for-word literalism as distorting, dangerous, and possibly leading to racism. Okay? Like I said so many times before in other broadcasts, you can more or less see what direction politicians are going to go in by what the Vatican says, sometimes years or sometimes only months in advance. Now, common sense is all one needs in order to see why the Vatican would declare such idiocy. They know that racism is in no way connected with religious beliefs. In fact, they of all people would know that. Now, I know some of you may have raised your eyebrows because you look at certain races on earth as having specific religions. But you can't say that with Catholicism. Okay? Now, some could say that racism is, like I said, you know, connected with Muslims, are of Middle Eastern descent, or most synagogue attendees are Jewish, but the same argument is moot when speaking of the Roman Catholic Church and its members. Absolutely every nation on earth today now has a Catholic Church in it. So, playing the racism card here is merely a political tactic that would see Rome as a mainline beneficiary to it. Even prophecy predicts this and proves this fact, that the Roman Catholic Church is, in fact, in every nation. It says in Revelation 17:1, come hither and I will show unto you the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now, what do many waters represent in prophecy? Because I'm not going to give you my opinion or my interpretation. I let the Bible explain itself. There's 404 verses in Revelation. Out of those 404 verses, 278 of them are found almost word for word in all the other books of the Bible. That's how easy it is to expose these false prophets and these false teachers, like these guys with the 7-year trib series or the left behind series and all that. Just open your Bibles and look at what the Bible says about those symbols. These guys are false prophets. It's that easy. So what does the Bible say about many waters? Revelation 17:15 says, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sits are peoples in multitudes and nations and tongues. This proves the Vatican statement regarding racism was a bold-faced lie, spoken only to benefit her political agenda and its desire to pass laws that will have a religious base to them. Common sense declares, how can one be considered a racist when speaking out against the Roman Church when that very church contains all races known to man within her walls? This includes the person Rome declares is speaking out against them, you know. It's truly that simple. If a black man speaks out against the Catholic Church, the Vatican cries racist, yet many Catholics are black. If a Mexican or an Indian or an Italian man speaks out against Catholicism, the Church yells racist. Yet there are Mexicans, Indians, and Italians in that church. The lies are truly that transparent to see. Yet the laws will be passed and this idiocy will be enforced because this is the only idea they figure will work, and sadly, it will work. Can you believe it? The Vatican has twisted the gospel, preached by the children of God, into a dangerous act. An act they say can actually lead to racism. To preach the gospel of Jesus Christ exactly as Scriptures defines, instead of as Rome defines, is now called racism or hate speech, now only because Rome needs to enforce the mark of the beast. The Bible must be placed as hate literature, or those preaching from it will be able to freely prove Rome is Antichrist. This has to be one of the easiest to prove evidences of fulfillment to date. Still, many blinded people will ignore the obvious and grasp the lie they cherish instead. And for those that do see this lie, well, there is yet another ace up their sleeves of Rome. The Roman Church is never satisfied with just one frontal attack, as we all know from studying history. If the racism card doesn't hold true, the heresy card will do just as well. But the heresy card won't work unless we have an image of the beast in big government. The Archbishop of St. Louis said, heresy and unbelief are crimes, and in Christian countries, as in Italy and Spain, for instance, where all people are Catholics and where the Catholic religion is an essential part of the law of the land, they are punished as crimes. Every cardinal, archbishop, and bishop in the Catholic Church takes an oath of allegiance to the Pope, in which occur the following words: heretics, schismatics, and rebels to our said Lord the Pope, or his aforesaid successors, I will to my utmost persecute and oppose. That's out of Joshua Strong's book, Our Country, it's on chapter 5, paragraphs 2 to 4, something like that. It's hard to decipher that. But it's in that book, Joshua Strong, Our Country. Now, heresy is not a crime in the United States of America or Canada at present, but before the Club of Rome can ensure continental compliance of such a law, they must create the image of the Roman Catholic government right here on the North American continent. And then what I'm doing will be considered a crime. Fact is, I reported back in my July 2005 Truth Provided newsletter that this was already being discussed. Headline, Canada National Public Radio Broadcasts Call for State Control of Religion, Especially Catholicism. This is out of LifeSiteNews.com in Ottawa, July 19, 2005. It says, just as Senate approaches the final vote on the gay marriage bill, C-38, Canada's National Public Radio, CBC Radio, has aired a commentary by a retired professor from the Royal Military College calling for state control over religion, specifically Catholicism. You know, the reason they want Catholicism to be especially controlled is because that is to be the only legal religion on earth after the Club of Rome comes into being. Strangely enough, even though this man is not a governing official, his ideas are considered worthy of discussion and implementation in Canada. No surprise here, since a bevy of anti-Christian laws have already been passed in that country already. The article more or less summed up the following. It states that I envision a Congress meeting to hammer out a code that would form the basis of legislations to regulate the practice of religion. Like the professor engineers, PNG designation, there would be RRPs, or registered religious practitioners, to carry the analogy to its conclusion. No one could be a religious practitioner without this qualification. How convenient, I think. But I'm going to comment a little bit more in regards to that comment that he just made in the article when we get back from the break. So please stay tuned to the Truth Provided broadcast. We got a couple of more things I want to share here, specifically that the Pope of this day is seeking diplomatic immunity because of sexual crimes that he was involved in. Stick around. We'll be back in a few minutes.